Good morning. Well, we reached our final Christmas message. Did anybody have a good time for Christmas yesterday? Good. Okay, well, I want you, because we established the last few weeks that everybody that's married here dated their, that we didn't have any eloping and nobody courted. Dwight and Bev, did you guys court or did you guys date? What? Dated. What's the difference? Well, that'll be a discussion for another day, but so that, I want you to think back of that time of falling in love. And there are three important ingredients to falling in love. People say sometimes we fell out of love. And sometimes we say, oh, we fell in love, as if it was an accident, right? We just fell in a hole somewhere. There are three important ingredients for love. We're going to really quickly cover those three, and then we're going to look at the Christmas story and see a couple of different people that that fulfilled those ingredients. The first one is attention. Attention. Focus of the mind and the senses. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4 says, therefore we must give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels provoked steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. One of the very first important ingredients for love is attention, right? And I think your attention is probably the most valuable thing that you have. You have a very limited amount of time with which you can give your attention to different things. And so what you focus on, right, what you do, really represents what you want, who you are, what's important to you. And when you give your time and attention to another person, that demonstrates that that is very important to you. The next ingredient, let me just say this. Love without attention is worthless. It's like a fire without a flame. It doesn't really exist. Love without attention, it has no value. Attraction. The next one is attraction. Something that you are interested in. Psalms 1, 1 through 3 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in the season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. What is it that you are attracted to? Now, we often think of that word attraction as something positive, right? But it can also be something that is negative, right? We can be attracted to things that aren't necessarily positive things. We can be attracted to certain arguments, right? We can be attracted to certain subject matters, certain individuals, right? And early on, a parent is very concerned about the children that they have and who they are attracted to, in the sense of who are they spending their time with? Are they people that are going to be a good influence on them or a bad influence on them. So our attention and attraction is very important. Love without attraction is a chore. Right? Love without attraction is a chore. Anybody have marriages that sometimes are like, oh, it's a chore? No, good. Glad. That was the correct answer. Don't raise your hand on that one. The last one is adoration. Adoration. And this means to honor or revere or hold in high esteem. 1 Timothy 6:11 through 16 says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and glory forever and ever. To be honor and everlasting power. Amen." Adoration. We want to honor those who we hold in high esteem, who we desire to get their approval. Love without adoration will result in frustration. Anybody ever been frustrated with somebody? Right? That's because they stop being adorable, right? Hey, you didn't say you were the one that I was the one you were frustrated with. Love without adoration will result in frustration. So we have these three things, and I want you to think back to your dating relationship. How different would your relationship have been if you did not give them attention, if you weren't attracted to that, to some part of them or something that they were attracted to, and if you didn't find qualities that you really appreciated about them, you didn't hold them in high esteem, you didn't honor them? Would that have totally changed the relationship? Yeah, you probably wouldn't be married today, would you? Those three things are essential ingredients. And if you ever have a point in a relationship where you feel like, you know, we've lost that love and feeling, then just go back to those three things. Give them your attention. Find things that they're interested in or that you can find that you are attracted to them, and appreciate them. It's something you can appreciate about. And think about those things. Don't focus on the negative. If you focus on the negative, you will stop adoring those people, your spouse. And we can apply this to not only to our spouse, we can apply it to our child, and we can also apply it to our Lord and Savior. And so we're going to look quickly about two groups, one group of people, the shepherds, and then also Mary. So first of all, Jesus is the promised Messiah. That's what the shepherds were told. In Luke 1:26 through 33, we see that the angel declared to the shepherds that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Verse 26 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her," I'm sorry, we're going to look at Mary first, then we're going to look at the shepherds. I got that backwards. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, I just want to stop real quick. If an angel appeared to you and says, "Rejoice, highly favored one," do you think they would have your attention? Probably so. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel definitely had her attention. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Now, do you think she's interested? Right? Do you think she's attracted to this idea? Let's find out. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. And therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age and is now in the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And so what does she do in response? In Luke 1, 68 through 79, she goes to see Elizabeth, and she shares this response. Mary adores God. It says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, whom have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." We see this pattern here. Mary's attention was on God. Mary's focus was on God. She was very interested in the things of God. She was attracted to them. And when she realized God's plan, she worshiped God. And then we also see in the shepherds that they were told that Jesus is the Savior. And we see again the angel announces the birth of Christ to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. "Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. peace, goodwill toward men. Who would have loved to have been there that night? That would have been awesome. But do you think if a bunch of guys sitting on the side at night, sitting out there watching the sheep, and somebody said, oh, hey, by the way, a baby was born over in Bethlehem. You think they're just going to all of a sudden say, man, we should just go over there and find out what's going on. We should go see that little baby. Probably not, right? But the angel appeared. He had their attention. He gave them great news. Something that they were interested in. Something that they were greatly interested in, that the promised Messiah had come. And so what was their response? The shepherds go directly to Bethlehem. Luke 2:15-16. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and to see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And we see that the shepherds adored Jesus. It says, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child, and all who heard of it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Do you think the shepherds held this experience in high esteem, that they honored the Christ child? Yes. They went and told everybody that they met. And it says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Now this Christmas season and into this new year, let us commit to spending time giving God our attention, giving God our interest, focusing on the things that he wants to focus on, focus on the things that he's interested in, give him our attraction and give him our adoration, honor him, revere him, and hold him in high esteem. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, to you belong the honor and glory and praise. You deserve our adoration because you have done great things for us. But Lord, it is so true that there are many people who do not give you the credit that you deserve. We don't give you the attention that you deserve. And oftentimes, Lord, the things that we're interested in are not the things that you've called us to. We get easily distracted. We get easily focused on things that are not as important as eternity, as salvation, as the good news of great joy for all people. So Lord, let us be challenged this morning to truly love you, to truly give our time, attention, our interest, our heart, Lord, and the praise of our lips to you, because you deserve it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.